access number 12541 Realty.
Before the British troops evacuated to the mainland, and then when the actual occupation came, well, after a period of maybe a couple of months, perhaps, and we got ourselves settled, we continued then to offer entertainment to the locals. There were quite a few amateur dramatic groups here, and but I was in a concert party, and used to fancy myself as a bit of a singer. But it was all good, clean fun, and that was the way we entertained ourselves.
Did the curfew cause you any problems?
Well, I suppose they were limiting, but then again, you just got to knuckle down. In the winter time, perhaps Christmas time, we would go out and then stay the night to a friend's house in order to avoid the curfew. But that made a difference. But there again, in the winter, we had very, very little heat. And I can remember sleeping in a bed, a large bed, there was my two brothers and I all in one bed trying to get warm. It was frozen. I've never been so cold in all my life. And I was only a young teenager then, if you like. And, we always think young people don't feel the cold, but it was terrible, terrible. But there we are. We got over that as well.
Can you tell me what you remember about the any raids on the island?
Yes, there used to be, but they would be over before we really knew. A lot of the raids by the RAF would be these low-level air raids, directed mainly either at the harbour, at St. Peter Port, or at the airport, but at the harbour, because they could come in low over the sea, and they would just up over, drop their bombs and away, and the next thing you'd be hearing would be, the anti-aircraft fire. But and then we used to read about the raid by one or two commandos here, where this local man, an army officer at the time, landed, and this is in the 1940, I think it was. He eventually was captured. Well, he gave himself up, a chap named Nicol. But I think there's a lot been said about him at the time and his colleagues. But
what kind of effect did the raids have on the population?
It was always a question of trying to find out how the Germans suffered. That was the main thing. But then again, it was all sort of hearsay, what we could pick up from the local underground agencies, such as the like with the English news, we used to get we used to have a hidden radio, and we used the we had an old and a bed with one of these large spring beds, and we used to use that as the aerial, connect the wire, because then it was the cat's whiskers we used to do, this radio, get it made up. In fact, my brother, the one that was that worked at the cinema, he got reported, for making radios and one thing and the other, and so he had to go to prison. He was reported by one of the local inhabitants. But this used to happen at times, you couldn't trust everybody. But there was quite a bit of that went on. But I think that in general terms, from my point of view, it was an interesting part of my life. I mean, one was always longing for it to be over. One could always sort of see an end to it somewhere along the line, perhaps more so than an older person. But, you know, when I reflect and look back, we had some nice times. At least I did, you know, quite from the point of view of doing your own thing, appreciating everything far more, really. I mean, food, entertainment, clothes, whatever. You did learn to appreciate things. You just didn't take them for granted then. Because when they weren't there, you know, you wished you'd had them.
Did you ever think that the Germans might be here forever? That they might
no.
be in the war?
No way. No way. No. That thought never, ever entered my head.
Even when they were winning everything?
Oh. Well, of course. I mean, we used to see in 1940, when the Germans were at the peak, I suppose, of their advancement, this is the time of the Battle of Britain and blitzing London and Coventry and all those places, and we would see these bombers, German bombers, that they would circle the island maybe for an hour or more, picking up fighter planes, escort taking off from Guernsey Airport, taking off from Jersey and so on, but more or less meeting, you know, before they would all set off for England. And at the time, you know, we used to, our hearts used to go out, you know, I mean, for people on the mainland, really. I mean, so all these planes, the noise going on, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of planes just circling around, just taking off. And they always looked horrible, sinister aircraft, black with this cross. And but we always thought, well, the RAF boys will be there to meet them, and all the anti-aircraft guns will be there to meet them, and so on. So really, I think one realized at that time that Germany was on top, but it never ever thought that they would win. No.
Was there any resistance to the Germans on the island?
Well, yes, there was, in a way, but it didn't really have much effect on the Germans' war effort. You know, it's a bit different on the continent, in France maybe, where, you know, the resistance fighters could go to earth, really, you know, in these forests or wherever. But in an island like this, there's nowhere to go, literally. And the Germans used to, I mean, people used to try these things. They'd put up, not exactly graffiti, but they would make some signs on walls and one thing and the other, you know, and or deface some of the German signs. And then the Germans sort of just said, right, all the young people, certain ages, one thing and the other, will report at a certain times, you know, and then we then have to do guard duty right throughout the night on their signs. So, you know, maybe three or four of you, civilians, and just sort of do guard duty so that no one will come up and sort of muck about with them.
Did you have to do that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But there again, you see, I suppose it was a bit of an adventure, you know, for me at that time, what, 19, 18, 19, 20, you know, it was a bit of an adventure. But
did you ever put any signs up yourself?
No.
What did you think about the people who did?
Well, I can't remember exactly what my feelings would have been. I suppose I must have felt, well, they're wasting their time. Why do they bother? You know, I mean, I just thought, well, we've got our life to lead. The Germans have got their job to do, what have you, so they must get on. There's nothing really I can do to stop it. I couldn't see at all. So, you know, what was the point? Really, I mean, we weren't going to achieve much. It isn't as if you had a some dynamite, you were going to blow up some bridges or attempt to blow up some bridges or blow up railway lines. I mean, they are in a small island surrounded by water, so what could you do? But I suppose some tried things on.
Was there any circulation of illegal leaflets?
Oh yes, there was an underground newspaper system. Yes, there was, and we used to get those from time to time.
What was it? A single sheet?
As far as I remember, it was. Yeah. I can't. It was underground. Guernsey Underground News. I think it was Guns, GUNS. I think it was the abbreviation, if I can remember. Guernsey Underground, something other.
How were they passed round?
Ha! Well, I think just, if you met someone on the street, from what I recall, I can't remember exactly, or if I never knew the system of distribution. No, I wouldn't know that for certain.
But they passed into your hands, did they?
Oh, well, not regularly, but you come across one, pick one up, you might even see one in a hedgerow, which had been dropped,
Was there any fear of being caught with them by the Germans?
Well, I suppose that fear was always there, really, to some extent. I can't recall any particular incident when this might have happened to me. No, I wouldn't have known that. But I dare say there would have been a fear.
Did you use the illegal radio very often?
Oh, yes. Well, when my wife and I got married, we were living at her parents' house for some months.
In St. Thompson's.
Yes, right. And we had a radio there, one of these cat's whiskers radio, and we used to listen to it most days or most evenings.
What would you listen to?
Well, BBC.
Just for the news?
Oh, the news, yeah. I mean, you didn't have much choice of a station because it's only a cat's whisker, and you've got to make sure that try to get that whisker balanced just right on the on the crystal. That's it. Some days it was hopeless. The reception was very bad, but on a clear moonlight night, the reception was always very good. Mm.
Do you remember any particular items of news that you received?
No, I can't remember.
Affected you?
No, not really. We used to hear things of what was happening maybe in the war front, and then the Germans. In the local paper that was printed each day, I think it was a daily paper, yes, they carried on. But the Germans always had their page in it with their propaganda, and it was always a different picture to what we'd heard. But there, I suppose that's what happens in war. I mean, it's propaganda by the two sides.
Who did you believe, the Germans or the British?
No, I used to believe the British. Of course, I wouldn't believe the Germans. No way. I mean, that wouldn't have been my scene at all. Even though I thought that perhaps, the German news was the right one. I wouldn't have believed that at all.
What do you remember about the Red Cross parcels that came on the Vega?
Well, the thing I remember mostly about that was when we unpacking the parcel, of course, and finding chocolate inside, which we hadn't seen for 5 years, for one thing, and this dried milk, which was called Klim. It's effectively, didn't realise at the time, but it's milk spelt backwards, but we just realised this was Klim. And Spam was another thing that featured very much in our diet at that time, and right after the war for a time. But I believe that was an American meat, Spam. Remember that, all right. But the thing that really I remember mostly was the bread. It was so white, it was whiter than white. I'd never ever seen bread so white. and closely knitted when it was baked, you know, and we thought it was too white, really, but it was beautiful. Gorgeous. Remember that.
So, in the package, you got flour.
Yes.
That you had to make up.
No. It was the flour that went to the bakers, and the bakers made the bread. And so the type of bread that we had been having and the type that we now started to get, just momentarily, didn't last very long, from this Red Cross flour was the difference between night and day. And it was that, yeah. That's what I really remember as the white bread. I can see it now.
Where did you collect your parcels from?
I suppose we would have collected them from various depots. I think that's right. In Guernsey, there was lots of shops that were grocery shops before the war, and then they were used as depots in different parts of the island. So we would have, I can't remember where I would have picked ours up from, but it would have been from a shop like that, I imagine. Mm-hmm.
What are your memories of the liberation?
Looking out the window of the cottage we lived in, it was a terrace, and we could look out the window and just see a part of Herm and some of the sea outside St. Peter Port, and seeing some ships there, which we hadn't seen for years and years and years. That was the first thing, really, that I recall seeing, you know, and then sort of, obviously, like everybody else, going out and just joining in the festivities. But it was a job to believe, first going off, it really was. It's a bit sort of, you know, and the fact the Germans were still there in our midst. But
was there any attempt to take revenge either on the Germans or on the people who'd collaborated with them?
Well, I don't think so. Certainly not on the Germans. I think maybe anyway, with the collaborators, I don't know. I can't speak for myself because, I certainly didn't take any action like that. Not that I would have known who to take an action against. So far as I was concerned, I was so pleased at the liberation that was any thought of any recriminations or one thing and the other just didn't enter my mind at all. I think we were then looking forward to seeing our families come back and seeing what they looked like, and you know, I think that was, as far as I was concerned, that was far more importance than regretting the 5 years that we'd just gone through, you know, and sort of pointing a finger at this one or that one or whatever. I mean, I had a young lady, courting a young lady. She was a member of our concert party, and I was, you know, just sort of very keen on her, and so we used to go out together and one thing and the other, but she said, well, she had a boyfriend in the RAF, so I had to sort of think, well, I've got to watch my step. But then after a year or two, I used to hear that she used to collaborate with the Germans or one thing and the other, so I just forgot her, and that was it. But when the liberation came, there was no thought in my mind of seeking her out and pulling her hair or doing anything like that. I mean, what was the point?
Did she stay on the island or disappear?
No, she stayed on the island for a few years, I think she did, and then she disappeared. Mm-hmm.